Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
So, as I just a little more, a little housekeeping, just a little finishing up from yesterday's daf. We finished yesterday's daf where Binyamin was very upset about the little piece that went into the Chelet of Yehuda. So I mentioned yesterday about the fact that one of the reasons given, which happens to be a Yalkut Shimoni, there could be earlier sources. Baruch is going to let us know on that. But the Yalkut Shimoni brings four reasons, actually, why the Mizbeach and the rest, actually, to the left, was included in Binyamin's Chelek. So one of the reasons, as I said yesterday, he did not participate in Mechiras Yosef whatsoever. He's the only one. Obviously, Yosef is faulted a little bit for the whole thing as a Mefarshim bring in Chumash. But, so that's one of the reasons. Another reason given is that Binyamin was the only Shevet born in Eretz Yisrael. The others were Mislaretz. And the other two of the four are both very similar, but it's basically the idea is that the youngest child in a mushel is usually the one that ends up taking care of the elderly parents. He's the one that cares the most about them, that the parents rely on him. So therefore, that's another reason why I was in Binyamin's Chelek.
Well, now, third, I just found that the last two answers are in this one three.
Well, the Grug gives,
He didn't bow down to Ace, he was the only one.
Oh, he was on, okay, so that could be another reason.
No, but Rabbi said the last two answers are in the Sefri, what you gave about the youngest child and about not participating in the Sefri on Ben Kasef of Shachet.
Mm-hmm.
On that Pasek. And then they have other reasons there too.
Right. That's where it is in the Yalkut Shimoni and Zoysa Bracha.
Yalkut is after. The Yalkut is, It's a later compilation.
Yeah, so another point that also is worthy of just bringing up, the Marsha's question, there seems to be a bit of a chicken and the egg situation here. We have Binyamin saw Baruch HaKadosh, that a little piece was going to go into Yehuda. But if he saw that, if he had the Ruach HaKadosh, so therefore he should have known from Ruach HaKadosh that he was going to get everything from the Mizbeach all the way to the left to the west. So he knew, he should have known Baruch HaKadosh that he was getting the Shekhinah at that point in time also. If he knew that Yehuda was getting a bit of a chelek, so why is he Baicha? What came from? And then he's rewarded, the Gemara says, with a Shekhinah resting in Binyamin. So there are a couple of answers given for that. The easiest answer, but the hardest answer, is that Hashem saw the way Binyamin would have reacted, even though he didn't react like that at that point, but because Binyamin had a nature like that, Hashem looked at Binyamin and said, oh, Binyamin would react like that if he knew that Yehuda was getting a little piece, so I'm going to give Binyamin, the Shekhinah will rest in Binyamin's Chelek. So that's the easy but hardest answer to understand. Another answer given is that Binyamin knew that the Mizbeach would be in his Chelek, but he didn't know about the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't know if the Kachi Kachim and the Aron would be to the left of the Mizbeach, to the west in his Chelek, or if it would be to the right. So because he was Mitzar, Hashem made sure that it would be to the west, to the left, in Binyamin's Chelek. So that's another answer that's given for that.
And he gave Binyamin the Ruach HaKadosh to know that.
He gave him the Ruach HaKadosh to know about Yehuda taking part in the Mizbeach. He knew about the Mizbeach, but not about the Kachi Kachim and the Aron.
No,
so I guess at that point he would know.
What would he have
done? Yeah, right. Unless he didn't know in his lifetime. And another answer given is that Binyamin was also, this answer, I have one question on this coming answer, is that the Shekhinah was also in Binyamin's Chelek even before the Beis HaMikdash and Naiv Givin and Shilai. That's what the Mefarshim say, or the Pirush that says that. But my question on that is, I always understood that Shiloh was in Yosef's
section. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say that later on. Shiloh is in Yosef.
Right, and you go back to the Rashi, of course, in Vayigash, when Binyamin and Yosef were hugging, so they're both crying about each other's destruction. Binyamin was crying on Shiloh. Right, the other one's destruction. So that answer with the Shiloh part is a little difficult.
It's a little difficult. Okay. All right.
Well, yes. Okay, so now we're going to get back into the discussion of the Karban Ayla and the Yisoid. So we are starting three lines from the top on Nun Dalet Amid Aleph, Meisve. So the Gemara is going to question whether there is actually no Yisoid, as we have been discussing, on the southeast corner. So, Meisve, Ayla Saif, this is a Mishnah coming up. We're going to be discussing the Ayla Saif on Samach Dalet Amid Beis, where the Mishnah over there goes through the entire process of the Ayla Saif procedure. So the Gemara asks over here, Ayla Saif Ketzad, what is the process of doing the Ayla Saif? So, Ketzad Haisenazis, Hayamoilatis Roishamimul Orpa, the Kohen would do a Malika from the back of the neck of the Ayla Sa'if, Umavil, and he would separate the neck. We have to jump to Rashi right away. Umavil, B'shtei Simanim, he would do the Malika on two Simanim, not entirely severing the neck, but almost severing it. V'loika Chatas, and not like the Chatas of Ha'if, which is V'hi V'simen Echad, which is only one simen is done by the Malika of the Chatas Ha'if. U'mamatze Doma Al-Kir HaMizbeach, and the Kohen squeezes, the procedure for the Oilas Ha'if is squeezing the bird. It's either squeezing it directly, there's a contradiction in Rashi's actually, whether the Kohen put the bird's body and squeezed it on the wall, or whether he squeezed the bird right next to the wall and let the blood just like spurt out of the bird. So that's just two different explanations of Rashi here and Rashi in Menachos.
But is that like a heter from, as long as you have that shita,
right.
It crosses in the vega.
Malika takes the place of Shkita.
It can only be done by a Kohen.
Right.
It's
Xeris HaKasav. That's how, I mean, the words in the Torah befit Moloch. Why it's different, you know, the deeper meaning as to why so we'll see when we get to that parak. It's a good question. That's what's the deeper meaning of doing Malika as opposed to regular Shkita?
So when you do Malika, start from the back.
Yeah. Right, you sort of flip the rib.
He does not sever the spine.
I think he breaks the spine.
He breaks the spine.
Yeah.
He goes to the samana. Or what about that? By squeezing the blood, it's not coming from the samana, the blood is coming
from the body, right?
And the arteries, because he's also cutting that. Right? Otherwise, the blood's not coming out.
Just
like Shkita, it doesn't say it, but he's really cutting the veins and the arteries at the same time he's cutting the samana. Doing the same thing over here.
It depends how I can't envision exactly how the you have to like squeeze it around.
And I also don't understand why I've never done a Malika, nor I've never seen a Malika, but I would assume because I have some people chef chickens that once the shkita is done, the blood comes shooting out of ourselves. I don't even know why there's a need.
Why you have to squeeze it?
Yeah, why you have to be massive?
It's like the shirai. That's what it is.
I guess it's like a shirai.
Okay.
What happens to blood is first out right away?
I know.
Okay, so so that's what that's one of the points we're discussing right now. So matzah d'malkir mizbeach. So here's the problem. We'll go to Rashi right away. Important Rashi. The amrit loy hayalah yisai. Now he's doing this on the, he's on the saivev. The coin is on the saivev at the southeast corner where we have learned till now there's no yisai. So the Gemara asks, e amrit loy hayalah yisai. If you're saying there's no yisai, as we've been saying, on the southeast corner, ba'vira da'amahu d'kavid, he's doing it in the air. So let's look at Rashi just to get the picture over here. So it's the last wide line of matzah midama. We'll skip that. It's doichik beis melikasai. So you see, Jonathan, to your answer, he's squeezing the bird from where he did the malika, lakir, to the wall, v'humis matzah ayidei doichkai dekir, and the blood is coming out from the pressure of pushing it on the wall. Ulukaman amrinin shal keren mizrachis droimis hunasis. In the Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amid Beis, it says we do it on the southeast corner. Now, one of the reasons given for that, why the southeast corner, it's because it's near the Deshen to the right of that, but we'll get into more, like, what is the Deshen, the little fire to the right, how does that play a role? We'll see when we get to that Perek. The E Ein La Yisoid, if there's no Yisoid in the southeast corner, Nimsa Keshehu Molka Ba'avir, so the coin is standing on the Saivev, he's doing the Malika, so Nimlekes, the Avir here Nimlekes, he's doing the Malika, V'hadam Neufel Le'eretz Le'ibud. So the blood, when he does, the initial blood that is coming out of the bird, and all the blood has to be going onto the Mizbeach, but when he's doing the Malika, some of the initial blood will come out and drop to the floor, but there's no Yisoid over there. So in effect, it's going to waste.
And he's holding it over the side.
He's standing on the side. What?
He's standing on the side.
Yeah.
Which way is he facing?
So he should be facing the Mizbeach.
Okay. So he's reaching behind him.
So, okay, so, that's a question that's discussed in what, is the coin standing straight up? Is he bending down?
Right.
Right. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is going to ask right now also. So he's standing on the Saivev, right? So Rashi asks on that, the Imtimer, Nifal Allah Saivev, Shari Lamala, he nasses. He's standing on the Saivev, so there shouldn't be a problem. He's doing the Malika. So therefore, it shouldn't be a problem. So the answer to that question is, Hakatani, but we did learn, Hassam, over there, that Asalamata Miraglov, he could technically do it beneath his feet even, because he's on the Saivev, which is 6 amas up. The Chud HaSikra is 5 amas up, so he's got still 1 ama beneath his feet to do. So technically he could do that. That's what's going to happen. If he's doing it between 6 and 5, it's not on the Saivev anymore. Right. So because technically he could do that, a few ama achas kashera, the loy kapit ella alamalam and achlut. We're only concerned that it should be above the 5 amma mark, which is the Chud HaSikra. So if he could technically do it because of that reason, beneath his feet, the blood is not going to land on the Saivev, in which case it's going to go to Ibud.
It's not beneath his feet.
Well, no, it's, well, right, but it's not over the Saivev. You know, if we'll go.
Leaning over his feet, his arm out.
Right.
Over the wrist.
Right.
Right.
Over the Saivev.
Between 1 and less than 1 hour. Then.
Right.
So the height is okay.
Right.
Horizontal.
Right.
But vertically is okay.
Right.
But horizontally.
The blood
he's
is.
Not, he's not, he doesn't do it on the wall.
So the initial Malika. Right. The initial. He's standing on the Saivev. So. He's on the Saivev. So because he's allowed to do the Malika between 5 and 6, which is below the Saivev, it means that initial blood will not fall on the Saivev, obviously. It's going to fall.
Why is he getting on the Saivev?
because he has to be lamaila. Don't forget, when you're looking at the mizbeach, it has to be five amos. You have to be, the blood has to be five. There's no way he's going to reach it from the floor. He has to be on the soiviv in order to accomplish above the chud asikra. So, Rabbi Brown discussed 7.5 years ago the issue here. He discussed, by the way, how the coin was positioned exactly, but also the lashon of Rashi, because Rashi indicates over here, he uses the word molka ba'avir. So it looks like Rashi's focused on the initial blood over here, that it's the Malika that we're worried about. The long Tosis goes into a discussion exactly what the problem is. I'm not going to go to Tosis now because we don't have enough time, but there's a big machlokes between Rashi and Tosis on this point. Anyway, so the Gemara, getting back to the main point here, if there's no Yisoid, it's going by Vir V'Amen. Rashi says, Bitmia, could that be true? Would that be allowed? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Emer Kach Hisnu. This was the deal, basically. Avira de Binyamin, Karka de Yehuda. The airspace, think of the Manhattan air rights, the airspace belonged, there was actually, it belonged to Binyamin, Karka de Yehuda, and the ground, that one Amma on the ground, belong, or that whole strip belonged to Yehuda. So how does that solve the problem? So Rashi says something very interesting here. Emer kach, Rashi says, Ve'ikul meimar, lemaila megimel, the lav karkahu, three amis, or tfachim, actually, above the ground, usui kemin blita katana, keneget oisa hakeren, lekabel badam, oilas ha'oif, shaloi yipa la'aretz. They actually had a blita, a little ledge sticking out of the wall on that point to catch the blood so that it doesn't hit the floor. In the airspace, it has Kedusha of Binyamin's side, and it's three tfachim up, so it's not part of the karka. There is discussion in Shabbos, I think, about 10 tfachim, 10 versus 3. Here we're going with 3. The question is also, how could they have decided? Was this part of the original plans? It's a public side. The point is it's going to have the Kedusha. He's not doing the Mitzvah at this point. This is just, yeah.
There's only the building a little bed.
Right.
Why didn't they already build it?
I mean, it wouldn't have. They could have done that. Yeah.
So what?
I guess they wanted to get the maximum use of the Kedusha airspace.
They were back on the wrong coast side.
Yeah, so it's a temporary thing. They some learned that the blita, the ledge here, is not a permanent fixture. So a temporary. That's how they get out of the problem. That's how they get out of the problem.
That's for another side. Put it in the other side. They stick it in. But you know, with that drop, it's going to splatter onto the. Here and there as to what, but they should have been denied.
But so the question is asked: okay, they have the ledge. So the question then is: should that be considered a yisoid? Once you have that little ledge, it should be good enough. So Rashi addresses that. So it's sort of a quasi yisoid over here. He says, "Avol yisoid loy mikri lahachshir hakeren lamatan dam hatzrichin." It's good enough to prevent. Right.
Even though it's in the space where the yisoid would be.
Yes. It's good enough to. Right. It's good enough to prevent a problem of going to waste, but not good enough to say this is a yisoid, a good yisoid to capture the blood.
So
they asked Kashas on Rashi. I don't know where Rashi got it from. Okay, so now we're getting into the discussion. Was there anything built over there? Was there a physical yisoid that was not treated as a yisoid halachically, or was there actually no yisoid? So the Gemara asks, "My loy havala yisayid." What does it actually mean that there was no yisayid? So it's machlokes Rav and Levi. Rav Amar bebinyan. Rav says there's actually nothing there, as we've been looking at the pictures throughout. And Levi Amar bedamim. And Levi says that there was an actual yisayid, but it was just not mekudesh with the kedusha of the mizbeach, but there was an actual yisayid. So if you would look at it, you would see something going all around. And they both darshan it from a targum, but the question is how they did the targum unkelus. If you look in the chumash, you will see the opinion follows Levi, that unkelus in the chumash is like Levi, even though we seem to paskin like Rav, because all the pictures, we assume there is no physical yisayid there. So the machlokes is Rav Natargim ba'achathante yasvin yisbane ma'atucha. That the Yamin is a host to build the mizbeach. So therefore, the mizbeach is only physical. So that part, there was no physical part. And Levi Natargim ba'achathante yisbane mikdashim mokayim mekudesh ladamim. That Binyamin hosted the part that is the holy part of the Mizbeach, but it is not, it's physically there, but that part is not Mekudesh. Okay, so now we're going to have four Tashmas. The first one's going to be a Raya to Rav and a Kasha to Levi, and the next three will be a Kasha to Rav and a Raya to Levi, but each one is going to get out of the Kashas that are asked of them. So, Tashma, the first one, Hayisoid Hayimahalach Alpnei Kol Tzafin, like we've been learning till now, Hayisoid Hayimahalach Alpnei Kol Tzafin, the Yisoid went on the entire northern side, Alpnei Kol Amar, but the entire western side, Oichol Bedarim Amachas, it jutted into the south side, one Amma, Ubin Mizrach Amachas, and it jutted in from the northeast corner into the Mizrach, one Amma. So this is a kasha on Levi, because you see there's no physical yisayid that Levi says existed. So this is a right to Rav, kasha to Levi. Gemara answers, my oichel nami bedamim. The oichel is saying which part is kedusha. There is a yisayid going the whole way, but the Bryce is just describing which one is bedamim, that is mekudesh, that is part of the mizbeach. But there is a physical yisayid. Kasha number two, which is this kasha is going to be on Rav. Tashma hamizbeach. So now we're getting into some of the measurements. Hamizbeach hayu shloishim ushtayim al shloishim ushtayim. The mizbeach was a square of 32 by 32. Obviously, if you're saying it's 32 by 32, there is a yisayid, a physical yisayid, on the right side, on the mizrach side. And I say that because I'm looking at the diagram with the east on the right and the west. And the Marav on the left. So it's a 32 by 32. So how does Rav get out of this? The 32 by 32.
But it's a problem that the square.
If it's a square, then it's kasha on Rav, because there's a physical, that means there's a physical yisayid.
Who said the yisayid is bad?
No, but the bottom part, the bottom part of the mizbeach is the yisayid. The first amma up. No, it means the mizbeach. If you look at the block, it's 32 by 32.
Right.
But the 32nd amma on the right side is the yisayid. The yisayid is one amma that goes all around at the bottom.
That's
a 32nd amma. So if there's no yisayid, if Rav was right, it should be 32 by 31. So the Gemara answers, no, Rav is just discussing, this price is just discussing the left side of 32 and the top of 32. But true, but there's no, but it's really 31.
Not 32 square.
Right. It's 32
by
31.
32 by 31.
Right. Exactly. That's how Rav is. What?
The space is not square.
Right. Right, according, well, you have the, right, if there's an imaginary, there's an imaginary line from that one amma going all the way there. Yeah. Tashmaz, next kasha on Rav. Nimsa perech amma al yisoid, v'amma al soide. So this is perech hovering the kevesh, the ramp over the, what this price is describing is the ramp is over the soide. So there's a picture, I mean, you don't have the pictures here. I have a picture here. So basically, there's an Amma. It's describing the ramp is over the Saiviv. There's a one Amma space over here. And it's describing the bottom of the Kevesh over the Yisayv, over here.
The top of Kevesh reaches the top of the Mizbeach. Right. There's an airspace under the top.
Right.
Before the wall of the Kevesh.
Right, exactly.
There's a little gap.
Right. So the question is from the description in this Braisa. The Braisa says one Amma over the Yisayv, one Amma over the Saiv. We're interested in the statement that says one Amma over the Yisayv. Now that this is the southern side we're talking about because the Kevesh was on the south. If the Braisa is using the term Amma over the Yisayv, we're taking that to mean there is a Yisayv on the south side. That's Akasha to Rav. So Rav will answer easily, Ema keneged Amma Yisayv, vel Amma Saiviv. No, it's above the Yisayv if there would have been a Yisayv over there. Right. There's no Yisayv over there, but if there would have been a Yisayv, it would have been one Amma. There would have been a gap of one Amma over here from the bottom of the, so this, it's either touching the floor or if there's a little space there, it would be one Amma. But there's no actual physical Yisayv according to Rav. Next Kasha. So here we're going to get into the actual construction of the Mizbeach. This will be a Kasha to Rav again. So we have Tashma, so the Tani Levi, and this is Levi learning this price. The case of Bunyan is the Mizbeach. How did they build the Mizbeach? Mevi'in Malbein, Shehu Shleishim Ushtaim, Al Shleishim Ushtaim. They brought a mold, and we learned that it was a wooden mold of 32 by 32, V'gavaya Amma, and it was one Amma high. So it was a 32 by 32 mold that was one Amma high. Umevi chaluke avanim
mefulamais. Small little thing. I would think that if they built it right there.
What, the mold?
Yeah, you take a bunch of wood, 32 feet of wood.
Yeah. So you're saying why? Why was it mevi? Yeah. Did they bring it from somewhere else? Yeah. They could have. Anyway, so they had a mold. They used the molds that was 32 by 32. Maybe umevi chalufli avanim ufulamis. They brought all kinds of stones and rocks that from the sea because by they were more smooth. Because at the end of the day, the base had to be totally smooth. That if you ran a fingernail over it, it would not catch.
Just the base, the whole is bad.
Well, we're starting at the ground floor right now. So this is the bottom level. This is the bottom base of the Mizbeach. Bengados, Bengatars, and maybe Sid that brought the plaster, the kunya, and lead, the zephyrs and tar, umamachta, the shoifech. They did everything that they would have to do that everything should hold together and have a nice concrete.
Cemented together.
Yes, yeah, cemented together, nice and smooth. Then, what did they do after? What?
They smoothed over the top and waited until it dried. And they did the next layer, it's not going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have rebar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't the whole top slide off?
Okay. I don't know. How did they glue it together? Okay, good question.
Rough enough for
okay, so.
Maybe the mix of Zephyrs and Kunya and Sid allows it to only just fill voice.
That's the relationship. Yeah. Maybe it was still voice and never on the next layer.
And it worked with Kunya and Zephyrs.
Tough crowd. Very tough crowd. Tell them that they hired you. Enough already.
It's good. We're the Bruces. We're not, I'm not like, you know, I learned from everybody also.
Whoa.
That a tough crowd here.
Yeah.
It's fine. The top. It's okay. He can hit them out better than I can. He'll pull out the Gemara from who knows where or Ritva. Anyway, so they did this. V'zehu makam yisayv. This is the bottom foundation. So we're one am up on the mizbeach. V'chayze umevi malbin, maybe again malbin shehu shleishim amal shleishim amal. Then they brought a form. They put a mold of 30 by 30. Obviously, it's 32 minus 2 because you have one Amma on each side. So it's 32 minus 1 minus 1 to 30. So now we're one Amma up. We bring a mold of 30 by 30. V'gavaya chamesh Ammas. And this one is 5 Ammas tall. So we have the side one Amma up and now we're going up five to the Soivev. So we're going to be six Amos off the ground. And we do the same thing. Maybe Chalupe Avonim, et cetera, et cetera. V'chayzer Umevi. Okay, so V'chayzer Umevi. And now the next level, we bring a Malbin Shehu Chaf Ches Al Chaf Ches Amos. Once again, it goes from 30 minus 1 minus 1 because we're at the Soivev level. We needed one Amma all around. So, and this is going to be the Goiva Gimel Amis. It's going to be three Amis. So we're going 1, 5, and 3. So now we're 9 Amis up by the time we're done with this mold. Who may be Chalukin, et cetera. We bring everything. Vuhu Makem Hamaracha. And this is where the fires were at the top of the Mizbeach, where all the action took place. V'choizer umevi, and now we're getting to the chronos. V'choizer umevi malvin shehu ama al ama, and now we're doing the four chronos that we've been talking about. Umevi chalukei avanim ufulamis ben gedolos ben katanos, umevi zefes, akunya, umamacha, v'shoifech, v'zehu karen, v'chein, l'chol, karen, and karen. Bottom line is, we see, we start 32 by 32. That seems to be against Rav because a perfect square, like we said before, would include a physical yesod all around, including the Mizrach and south sides. Kasha on Rav.
Also, Rav, the way it's described here, we're not hollow or
anything. That's coming up. Coming up on Amit Beis.
Don't fall in it.
Yeah, coming up. So, the Chi Taman, if you want to say that they built it, that they did it, now this is Rav trying to answer it. The Chi Taman, the guy is lay, stuff Rashi on top, Achashi Yavesh, after it all dried up, Sasser Habinyan Malchal Kaishal Yehuda, they would actually remove that last Amma on the right side. So they formed it, did it, and then they would cut it off, but that can't be done, because Avadim Shleim is Ksiv. So Rashi sheheich olok v'loy pegimis. It has to be smooth and not notched. V'loy pegimis pegimis. V'efshel estira liyos cholcha. It's impossible if you cut off that last ama that that whole side would be smooth. So this is not an option. So what is the option? So Rav is still trying to answer the question. So he'll answer demachis midei mitusei v'shakalei. So what they did was they actually put pieces of wood, smooth wood, in that last ama of that 32 by 32 mold. So they did everything, all the mixture, cementing, etc., in a 32 by 31 area. And that last ama to the right, they had a certain type of wood where the cement would not adhere to too tightly. So when the process, when everything dried up in the 32 by 31 area, they would remove those wooden planks that...
They really changed the shape of the mold.
No, the mold is still 32 by 32.
Oh, why?
It's the same, because it's they're
the
same putting...
It's a hollow space in the middle. It's 32 by 31.
Well, at the end of the day.
They
filled it in with wooden planks so that it should not be cemented over there. And when the 32 by 31 became hard and cemented.
I understand, but what's the difference between those planks that filled it in and the mold itself? Same, they're also wood.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying it could have been a 32 by 31.
I said the other day, I think the answer is if they did the mold in the first place, 32 by 31, when they went to build the mold for the second level, there'd be nothing for the mold to sit on. So they needed those planks there that the mold for level two could sit on those planks.
No, but it could be they took the wooden planks out before they put the 30 by 30.
Then there's nothing for the mold to sit on. 30 by 30.
Yeah.
This is going to be an object.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. So I think
they waited till the end to remove it.
They just waited. They removed the whole mold.
Yeah, Jonathan is just saying they would have left the wooden planks in that 32nd Amis space until they completed at least the next level, so the 30 by 30 would have something to rest on.
The mold, okay. The second level mold.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Unless they made that whole mold taller, which would be
So this is the way Rav is suggesting that they did this, and the reason why he says this is the Eloi Tema Hachi. If you would not say that, we'd have an issue with the Kronis. Because Had Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said when they did the Kronis, Abanim Shel Kronis Chalulois Haya. We were discussing yesterday, even at, when we were talking about the Chatas Behema applying blood to the Kronis, we weren't sure if the top of the Kronis were hollow or not. So initially right now, by we're saying it was completely hollow. That will not, we will not end up over there. But at this point, Rav Kahana says there were holes in the top of the Kronis, the Siv. And why are there holes? Because we have to fulfill what it says in Zecharia, where it says, the Siv, umol kemizra kezavius mizbech. The Kronis are like a bowl, which means it's hollow, like the corners of the Mizbeach. So therefore, it seems that the Kronis were hollow. So how did we do that? If we mixed all the stuff in the cement, how did it become hollow, or at least the amount that it had to be hollow? Hachinami avanim shleimes amarachmana. You have to have full stones and smooth. Elo, how did they solve the problem? The machus midi mituse v'shakale. They had little pieces of wood in the Kronis as it was cementing, and therefore when that finished, they took those little pieces of wood out, so they had some holes in the carry, in the top. Not completely hollow. There were sections that were cemented, but there were little holes in the carry. So it wasn't completely hollow.
No, I understand, but they built, they kind of, I guess,
It was a type of wood that they could just pull out, little pieces of wood. We'll see Rashi in a second, by the way. Hachinami, so therefore, just like Rashi says, that's what they did by the Kronas. Hachinami, the Machas, Midi, Mitusa, Vishakale. This is what they did over here by the 32 by 32. So Rav has answered all the kashas on him. We need to look at Rashi over here. Because the Rashi, Kronis Shel Mizbeach Halulei Saya, it's a very shver Rashi. He says, Nekavim Nekavim Amukim, there were holes in the Kronis, Barabatan, in the four of them. Sheyipol Dam HaChatas V'Yivla L'Taychai. So the Dam HaChatas, that was a part of our discussion yesterday, should be absorbed in the Kronis. This goes completely against the way we learned yesterday when we had the Machlaikis between the Amoraim and the Tanaim, where we said it's on the side of the Kronis, and the only issue was how far down. Wow. And we were discussing yesterday, Rashi used the word al, which the Masifta says even back on yesterday's daf, Rashi means inside, which is consistent with what Rashi is saying over here. So it's a real problem with Rashi.
And was there some sort of piping system?
Yeah, what happened over there?
No, it looks like whatever, it's absorbed in the... It doesn't drip down, it looks like.
And it would, at a certain point, and the mold,
no, but he's taking the kind was doing with his finger and just smearing it. So it's there's not much over there. So it, this is Shver Rashi, but the and you see there... With blood? I mean, not if he's doing it with his fingers.
It's not water that evaporates. It's
a red. Yeah, all right. It'll dry up, maybe. All right, so...
They clean it out again. They clean it out and keep it once in a while.
Yeah.
But in this process, they left a hole in the soil.
Right. Yeah, Tyson's...
Were there holes in the Ritzva?
Whether it goes all the way down, like the other corner, the southwest corner where they did the pouring of the Nisachim.
Was that just through that?
Yes, I don't know. I don't know if there were holes. Like,
had to go down before.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyways, the last Tysis on the Amid over here asks this Kashan Rashi. Also, you could take a look at the Tema LePerusha, the last line of the last Tysis. Shaloi Haya Matanis Lamala El Keneged Chuda Mibachutz. So Tosis asked that Kasha on Rashi. Okay, so now we're just going off because we were discussing about Binyamin with the Mizbeach. So we're discussing where and how they decided where the Beis HaMikdash should be built. Obviously, we'll have a lot of questions about this exactly. about how it happened, but we'll do the Gemara and we'll just point out certain interesting points. Darsh Rava, Rava Darsh, and Maidach Siv, we have a composite of two psukim that are put together, but basically what we're getting out of these psukim, it says, Vayelech David Shmuel, Vayeshu Benoyos Berama. V'chima, the Gemara asks, V'chima Inyan Noyos Eitzel Ramo. They're two different cities or two different things. What does Benoyos Berama mean? Ella, Shahayu Yoshtin Berama, Shmuel and David were in Rama, which was Shmuel's city, V'oiskin Benoyos Shel Oilam, and they were discussing the splendor of the world, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So they were trying to decide where the Beis HaMikdash should be built. Amr, they said, Ksiv v'kamta v'alisa elamakayim, the Pasuk in the Varm says you should go to the highest, you should ascend to the place. Melamed shebeis hamikdash gavoya mikol Eretz Yisrael. This teaches us the Beis HaMikdash is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael gavoya mikol Eretzis, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other countries. Now, this statement, Rashi points out right away, we don't need to know right now that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands. Rashi says to the left, a little bit lower, Loi mi boi lan hacha, we do not need this here, v'lav mahacha naftalan. We don't even learn this statement that Eretz Yisrael is higher from this pasuk. We have Pesukim in Yirmiyah that tells us. But either way, the Gemara mentions that also. So Loi tafi yadei duchti hecha. They did not know the exact spot of where the Beis HaMikdash should go. Now, the question is asked, obviously, if it has to be the highest point, why couldn't they just look at the highest point and figure it out? It's all visual anyways. It'll be the highest point, and that's where they, because of the Pasuk and the Varim.
So how did they figure it out?
They were...
You're 40 miles away.
No. So that's actually, you're touching on a second answer that I'm about to say. But the main point is that they could, literally the way it says, it's the highest point. Why couldn't they see what is the highest point? So the answer given to that is that there was still a mitzvah for them. There were two things. Number one, it was still a mitzvah for them to figure it out without just looking and seeing, but to figure it out from a Torah source, from Sukkim. And secondly, it was, they felt that a Torah source would even be more accurate than their visual determination of what the highest spot is. So that's the answer given for that. And your point about seeing it, so there's an answer given that the earth, which is round, is like a ball. So, depending where you are, one point may not be the highest point, depending how you're looking at it, like you just said. But they were looking for the exact spot when a ball, I guess, like when the world was created, from one spot, from everything emanated from that one spot. So they were looking for that, trying to figure out where that spot is. Yeah, Evan Shasia, maybe.
Yeah, but that's not much in Dubai in Colorado.
Well, it is. If that means that you look at the earth as a ball and that creation point is on top.
Right.
Like when you have a balloon, you tie the knot and you hold the knot on top, then that's the highest point. It doesn't really mean highest in terms of distance from the center. It just means highest if you would hold it down with that on top, which is redundant. But that's the only way it makes sense.
I mean,
what happens to the eye? What happens?
I don't know
what's going on.
Wrong. What?
Do you remember that?
Rashi on Duchte says, and they also wanted to know Begvul Mihu. They wanted to see from the Torah in whose territory would this be. So that was their question. So Isis Sefer Yeshua, they brought Sefer Yeshua, and they analyzed the Pesukim in Yeshua, when it talks about the division of Eretz Yisrael, of course gets very complicated with all the borders that are being delineated. But the main point for us is, it says, Vayard V'Ola HaGvul, Batar HaGvul, It says by explaining the borders between Yehuda, Yehuda ran from east to west, and Binyamin was right above that, and it wasn't a straight line. But the point is, by the other border delineations, it described up and down. V'shevet Binyamin v'alaksiv, v'yarad laksiv. In certain parts of the division, it does not use the word v'yarad by Shevet Binyamin. So Amr, they said, Shma mina hachahu mekaymai. Because of that, they said it has to be in Binyamin's area, and this is where it should be, in Shevet Binyamin, because that was the only division where the word going up was used and not any going down, which meant Binyamin's area was in the highest. So that now they were determining, okay, it's in Binyamin, where in Binyamin, how high should we go? So Sover Lemivnia Be'ein Eitan, the Midli. They were thinking of building it in an area which is not in Yerushalayim exactly. It's a little bit out of Yerushalayim. That Be'ein Eitan was the highest spot over there. So Amr, but they said, Nisati Be'i Kalil, we have to bring it in a little lower because we have the other issue, Kedachsiv Ubeng Seifav Shachin, Seifav referring to a shoulder. That's where the Shechina will rest, Shevet Binyamin, but it only goes up to the shoulder. So it should not be on the highest point, which is would be the head, let's say. It should be on the shoulder length, as high as the shoulder. So they brought it down a little bit into where it ended up. In Yerushalayim.
Instead of having it in eight
times. Right, which is further away from Yerushalayim.
So they actually bought Soda of where
exactly
everything can happen.
Right.
Where Abraham had
and stuff. And the question is also discussed that either way they would not have been able. Now, even though Shmuel Hanavi, he was not the Navi apparently that gave them the green light to build the Beis HaMikdash. That was God Hakoyza. And the question is, why didn't they wait for the Navi to tell them, besides telling them when, but where? But once again, it was a mitzvah for them to independently figure out where the Beis HaMikdash should go. So that's why they went through this trouble of trying to figure it out. The Shmuel and David.
Not me and you.
Right. Yeah.
Don't get about the effort.
Don't try it. The Ibai Seima, another answer why they brought it down a bit and not on the highest point, because Gemir, we have a tradition, the Sanhedrin, the Chalkai de Yehuda, the Shechina, the Chalkai de Binyamin, the Imad Leninle, and if you would put it on the highest point in Binyamin, Mispalik, Tuva, Samutav, the Nisate, Bei Porta, you bring it down a little bit, Kedachsiv, Beng Seifa, Shachdein, and Valdavarzeh, on this whole matter, Niskana Doig Hadaimi, the David. Doig Hadaimi was very jealous of David. Apparently, Doig himself was trying to figure out where the location should be, and he was very envious of David when David figured it out. Kedosiv ki kinesa bezcha achalosni and tehillim, uksiv zachar Hashem l'David as kolonosai. David is saying, until and Hashem should remember all the afflictions that David went through, Asher Nishbal Hashem, Im Avai Ba'oil Basi, if I come into my house, Im Etain, Shenas La'ena Laf Apai, Tanuma Ad Emsa Makam Hashem, David wanted to make sure he found the place for the Shechina. Mamish couldn't sleep. He had afflictions just trying to figure out who wanted Hashem to have a place.
How could I sleep if the Burnish doesn't have a place?
Yeah.
So he figured out.
So then he says, when he saw the pasuk, so he describes Hinishma Nuha Befrasa Mitsanuha Besteyar. So the English translation is, behold, we heard of it in Ephrasa, we found it in the forested field. So what does this refer to? This is David saying in Tehillim what he had done and figured it out. Befrasa Ze Yeshua the Kasi Me Ephraim, that he found it in Sefer Yeshua, who comes from the tribe of Ephraim, Matsanu Basad Basteyar, Zebinyamin Zev Yitrov. So he explains that in the footnote, a wolf usually hunts in the forest, but will sometimes venture into the fields. So the dual reference to the forest and the field alludes to a wolf, which is Binyamin. We'll just do the mission as well. We have a couple of minutes.
You realize it's just a little bit more, it's a little deeper than that with Doag. The reason why Doag was upset is because he was opposed to David becoming the king. He was an ally of Shaul. He was Shaul's general. And in order to build the Beis Hamikdash, you require a melech. Like we learned out from Moshe. Moshe was a melech. He's a melech of Sanhedrin. The fact that Shmuel is consulting with David indicated to him that David was the appointed king. And that's what he was very upset about. The Kinas Beis Chalchalosni, it was the fact that David is being selected as the king, and David is the one who's involved in constructing the Beis Hamikdash, or at least selecting the situs of the Beis Hamikdash, that indicates that his kingship is validated and Shaul's is excluded. That's why he was really upset.
What did David do with
Eliyahu Shevet? What did David do with Eliyahu Shevet? You're right. But the fact is that Shaul... You're right.
Yeah, but don't forget, isn't the answer to that once it leaves Shevet Binyamin, it will never come back? But it could start with Shaul and maybe continue with Shaul's lineage.
And remember, Shaul was Nimshach. He received Shevet HaMishkan. It should have been a permanent selection.
Wait a minute. So did David make this decision during the reign of Shaul?
Yes. That's exactly what after David was selected, it was appointed and anointed with the Shevet HaMishka, he consulted with Shmuel. And that's what Doag was very upset about. Doag was upset that, well, why is Shmuel consulting with David? Who is he? And that indicated to him that Saul's kingdom had been usurped. That's what I'm trying to explain. Okay.
Okay, next mission where is Zivchei Shami Tzibur. So this is referring to the only shlomim that is Kutche Kutchen, and the only shlomim that's brought by the Tzibur. This is a Kivsei Atzeres, Va'ashamais, and the Ashamais. Elu Hein Ashamais, these are the Ashamais, Asham Zelus, Asham Elois, Asham Shifcha Harufa. Somebody has relations with a Shifcha that's engaged to an Evet Ivri. Asham Nazir, Asham of Saira, Asham Tali. Once again, Shkitasin Bitsafin, the Kibul Daman, the Klei Sharis Bitsafin, the Daman Ton, like the Oyla, Shtematan Shehain Arba, and Asolim Lufnim Minaklaim. Once again, the Lushan of Klaim over here that we had earlier, the previous Mishnah, the Zichrei Kahuna, only the male Kaihanim Gedoilim can eat from the carbon Asham. L'chol machol, you can prepare it in any way. L'yoim v'layla at chatzais, very similar to the Mishnah in about the carbon oila. This is a wrap. Have a great Shabbos.
Yes, sir.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.